up at 2:30 p.m. as we continue on with the broadcast day. Stay tuned.
You don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, then tell me where we gonna plant our seed. It makes me wanna cry for the children. Makes me wanna cry for Mother Earth. Makes me wanna cry for the children. Makes me wanna cry.
Did they ever hear of solar power? Ever see a windmill go? Feel the pull of an ocean wave? We could do, there's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic for March 11th, 2022.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
You're going to be hearing today a live report from Indian Point Nuclear Plant in Buchanan, New York.
Longtime peace activist Jane Shaw is on the scene. Hi, Jane. Introduce yourself, please.
Hi, kids. Well, it sure is great here. We have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of us are here, and we all have peace cranes in blue and yellow so that we can have peace cranes for Ukraine. And the idea of Peace Cranes for Ukraine is not about solidarity, let's send airplanes. It's about if there isn't peace in Ukraine, we're all in big trouble. So let's remember why we really need peace in Ukraine. Yes, we care that people are suffering and that all this awful stuff is going on and happening to them. But it's kind of beside the point when you think of what could happen to the entire world if we don't have peace in Ukraine, and soon, like immediately. It's all getting worse and worse. And we're at Indian Point today because it's the 11th anniversary of the beginning of the ongoing nuclear disaster at Fukushima. So we come here every year to commemorate this and to offer peace cranes in hopes that that bad thing doesn't happen here. At the same time, getting back to Ukraine, Chernobyl has just run out of power. So how are they going to keep all that radioactive waste safe? And yeah. And now the International Atomic Energy Agency is saying, oh, it'll be fine. Nothing to see here. That is ridiculous. We all know that if they don't have those cooling pools working, if they don't have the power to keep that stuff cool, then once again, Chernobyl goes all over Europe. And we know that Fukushima is already going all over the Pacific. We don't want Indian Point to go all over the East Coast here. And all we need, all we need is one of these lovely gas pipelines to rupture and explode, and that's what will happen. And remember that part of this war in Ukraine is fueled by gas. We want, we meaning our country, not we who are standing here, want to be able to sell this gas, which is exactly the gas coming under Indian Point, to be liquefied and sold to Europe. And that's part of what has provoked Putin. Putin is not unprovoked.
I've seen a campaign to get us to ask the president to use the DPA, the Defense Production Act, is it, to have renewable items.
Well, that's what
should
happen.
Right.
And, you know, and all this gas is not so that we can sell, so that we can buy gas cheaper. It's so that our corporations can sell it in competition with Putin. And yeah, Putin's bad. Duh. What else is new? It's
right.
Beside the point.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. So I would like to also mention that all the refugees, I mean, every single minute, every time you listen to the news, there's something new that comes up. So now they're making a big deal about how we will welcome them all with open arms. Good for them. I'm not against them. But in the how many millions of refugees have we caused, and how many have we rejected because we don't want those people here? And meanwhile, they come here because mostly stuff that our policies have done to their countries in a million ways that I won't go into, because it is a million ways. But it's the entire Western Hemisphere. It's all of the Middle East. It's much of Asia, all of Africa. Give me a break. And those are all the people we don't want here. But, oh, my God, those poor Ukrainians. And, again, I feel for the Ukrainians. I feel for all of them. But how long have people ignored what's going on in Yemen, let alone in Palestine, let alone in Myanmar, let alone what India is doing at the moment? It's just really, really, really bad.
And we have to know that there are so many plants all over the world, and every one of them is in danger. Every one of them is a scary proposition to the and very vulnerable to war. And
yeah.
Right now, where you're standing right now, and in Indian Point, thank you so much for you and all the people that are with you. Maybe we can hear from somebody else that's there.
I'm going to pass the phone to Vanessa Agudelo, a fellow Peekskillite, and she's
cool.
Going to talk to you. Here she is. There you go, Vanessa.
Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's happening out there?
So we're here because I think we all agree that nuclear power is a game that we cannot afford to play, any of us. It's the price that we've had to bear here in our community in Peekskill and in the Portland area for far too long. And we've seen the price that so many communities have had to pay with the meltdown at Fukushima and so many others occasions. And I think this is the time where we really cannot allow ourselves to be defined by our past. I mean, we're seeing the Indian Point nuclear power plant now being decommissioned. I think that we have to look towards the future and really look towards the opportunities of investing towards renewable energy and renewable energy here in New York State and across the country. I think we need to put our community's safety at the very center of every decision we make. And the reality is our communities are not safe with nuclear power at the center. They aren't safe now. And our future generations are at risk if we continue to rely on this energy, on this infrastructure, as a way towards sustainability. We need to look towards renewable energy. We have the opportunity to invest in this new energy sector, create new jobs, and at the same time ensure that the jobs that we're creating and the communities that we're building are centered around safety and stability for the years to come.
Well said. Thank you.
I'll pass it back over. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you for everything that you're doing, Vanessa.
Rick, you want to talk?
We love having our ecologic staff on site. This is perfect.
Yeah, hi. This is Rick Klein. So I guess I'm here today to bring attention to the fact that that even though the world was pretty stable for a number of decades, that it's not really stable, and especially with the U.S. Being so polarized, and that the nuclear reactors that maybe would have chugged along in okay in their decommissioning become dangerous in an unstable world. So we're here at Indian Point, which is being decommissioned by a group that has ambiguous credentials, and we're celebrating Fukushima's anniversary today, and Chernobyl is without power. So all these things remind us of the dangers of nuclear energy. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Just waiting to see who's joining Ecologic next.
You have Jean again now, and I'm going to give you to Judy Allen.
We know her.
Yes, you do. Yeah. So we're here at Indian Point again. It may be closed, but the company that has been tasked with decommissioning it has a really bad track record. And so it continues to be as dangerous as it's always been, especially now with the gas pipeline underneath. So we're just remembering how 11 years ago this tragedy started, and it's not over. And it's not going to be over until we all work together to make renewable energy a reality for our nation and the world.
That's right.
And here's Jean.
Thank you, Judy.
Thank you, Judy.
I know there's a fairly small crowd out there today, but there's going to be a larger group out on Sunday when Jean San does her walk.
That's right.
I think it's really important that every year there are people like Jean who want to make sure that even if there are events on other days, because, you know, Fukushima isn't just one day, right? That particularly on the anniversary day, the 11th of March, is always important to have people there. So, Jean, thank you for holding the ship, and is that a good phrase? All right. And making sure that we bring attention to this particular day. But tell us more about the bigger event happening on Sunday.
Okay. On Sunday, June Yasuda, who has been a guest on various programs on BAI, by the way, will be coming with the Peace Walkers from the Grafton Peace Pagoda. And they will walk from the Peekskill train station to Indian Point, to the gates where we are right now. And they'll get here by 1:30, and she will do a very incredible ceremony, which she always does, because she rings her bells and she bangs her drums, and she's wearing her saffron robes, and she's very much in authority, and it's great. And then everyone takes their peace cranes across the street and offers them to Indian Point. And then after that, we pick them all up again because we can't litter. That would be bad. And they would see it as littering. But that's what we'll do on Sunday. And in a little while, we're going to do that here, but I'm not going to do that while I'm on the radio because what's the point? You can't see it and there's nothing to be heard. So, you know. And I can't do the Zoom afterwards. I couldn't even send you a response to the email because
my computer decided it was going to go offline for a couple of days.
Mitchell is a stop on Metro North, on the Hudson Line of Metro North.
That's so right. It's the Hudson Line of Metro North. Still easy to get by public transit. I am going. The Peace Walkers are all going to be gathering there at 1 o'clock and start walking. So watch for them. You will hear them because you'll hear jingling and drums and banging and chanting, and they will walk and sing the whole way here. And then we'll all stand in a circle and we'll sing some more, and some people will offer whatever they have to say or do. And then we'll all, one by one, go take our peace cranes across the street while the state troopers look at us like, oh, these weirdos again. But that's okay, because they know that we care about them too, because we talk to them. We explain to them exactly what we're doing and why we're doing it. And part of it is we know that they have not been properly equipped to deal with a real emergency if it happens here, because who's going to pay for it, you know? And that's not okay. I don't want them or anyone else to be given up for who cares, because no one wants to pay the money to keep everyone safe. Everyone likes to just believe nothing will happen.
Yeah. I remember a few years ago bringing a peace crane over to right in front of Indian Point, and one of the security guards who was, like, watching us really carefully started to walk over like they wanted to take them away. And one of the other security guards called him back. And I think they didn't want to make too much of a scene. So they let us all, every one of us, put our peace cranes over there. It was interesting to watch their reaction, because I'm sure they don't understand what a peace crane even is.
Well, when we were trying to head to the police force, we had a decent relationship with them.
We didn't want any of those security guards to get laid off. We wanted them to stay because they knew what they were doing, and they knew who we were, and they know. They have the history here. But, you know, now whoever we see, we work on. We talk to them, we engage with them, we explain what we're doing and why we're doing it, because it's not for us. It's more for them than anyone. They're right here.
Yeah.
They're the frontline workers. So, and we depend on them to save our lives when stuff goes wrong.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to put you on the spot, but are you willing to sing for us?
Oh, yeah, sure, okay. I can sing for you. I'm not saying it's going to sound good, but no, here it
is. Tell us about the song before you sing it, if you would.
It is a love song of the Peace Crane. I wrote it in April of 2017 for Westpac, and here's how it goes. Okay, am I going to have any accompaniment? Okay, good. I have other people singing too, so this is great. Okay. All right. Ready? 1, 2, 3. The deeper reach the roots of justice, the further finds the wing of peace. Okay?
Yeah.
And if Margo was here, we could have had a flute accompaniment, but Margo is at work.
Yeah.
Well, Jean, you are one powerful warrior woman. On National Women's History Month, we really appreciate to honor our wonderful warrior women.
Yeah.
And Jean Son, who will be there Sunday, is another powerful warrior woman.
Yep.
Environmental movement is full of powerful warrior women. It's one of the wonderful things about it. And you were talking about Chernobyl, the power being cut off. And you think, well, it's a power plant. What does it matter if the power is cut off? And you talk about nuclear waste. And I would like to point out what happened at a nuclear waste dump in the old Soviet Union when it overheated. There wasn't enough cooling. It overheated and exploded. And the explosion was so great that they could detect it with seismographs at Lamont Doherty Geologic Labs, which is right across the Hudson River from New York.
Right.
They didn't know what the explosion was, but they could detect it. Wow. And then a few years later, when new maps came out of that area, a whole bunch of towns were missing from those maps.
Yep.
Oh, this is what unheated nuclear waste can do.
That's right.
It has to be kept cool. It has to be kept safe. So cutting off the power to Chernobyl was a bizarre bit of strategy and tactics. I don't know what they hope to accomplish. Because if that waste explodes, the fallout is going to go to Russia. It's going to go
of course
here, too.
It is.
It doesn't make any sense to me. But a lot of this, well, most wars don't make sense anyway. So.
Yeah, I remember the first Chernobyl explosion. Somebody at work said they were told not to go to Ireland on their honeymoon because of the fallout from Chernobyl.
Yeah,
one that's right.
Went there.
Yeah. So, the
Fukushima meltdown disaster is a reminder for the world that it's not too late to gear towards a nuclear-free future. And that's what we're all about right now, is figuring out a way to have a nuclear-free future.
Huh. Energy is only increasing every day.
That's
worldwide.
Right, every single day. And everyone who thinks Chernobyl is over, it's not. As long as it still has to be cooled, as long as it still has to be watched, none of it is over. And none of it ever will be over.
Can't
be over.
What about Three Mile Island? What are they doing to keep
that
safe?
It's not over either.
No, I know, but what are they doing to keep it safe?
I couldn't tell you what they're doing to keep it safe. I don't know what they're doing to keep anything safe.
They're using the cooling water from the Susquehanna River to keep it cool. But the radiation is still coming out of Three Mile Island and mutating plants downwind in Pennsylvania.
Some of that waste has been transported out, but there's still a lot of it left there. And, it needs to be kept cool for millennia.
The Smithsonian has examples of some of the mutated plants from Three Mile Island.
It's very bad.
Be forgotten, I hope.
There's no – every place that there are nukes forever. And – Chernobyl, every part of Chernobyl is nuclear waste, every single part of it. And as we know from the science that was taught to us by Dr. Gordon Edwards, which anyone can look up Dr. Gordon Edwards online and get a really good lesson about what nuclear and radiation means, what radioactivity does, then you will know that it's never ending. It's forever. Everything is changes.
As usual, the time flies by, and we need to wrap it up. But joining us, everybody. And even though Indian Point is closed, the waste and thus the danger remains. Please check out IPSECINFO.org. That's IPSECINFO.org for more information.
Join us next week on Friday, March 18th. For Kishtim, Church Rock, and other nuclear accidents you never heard of.
We have information on a variety of environmental topics, and you can listen to this show or any of our past shows. It's all on www.ecoradio.org.
That's www.ecoradio.org.
Mainstream media will not cover events that we brought you today. Therefore, preferences always move on.
You're breaking up, Sally.
WBAI is celebrating Women's History Month, and Ecologic is highlighting the exceptional women environmentalists. Last week's show, commemorating Connie Hogarth, started off our conversation on amazing women making a real difference.
Ecologic and WBAI are in need of your support to continue to exist. Become a BAI buddy, please, in the name of Ecologic, and you will receive a flash drive of Pacifica's Women's History Collection and a WBAI tote bag.
Pacifica has a wealth of archival material, including the voices of many women of history. You'll hear Rachel Carson, Helen Caldicott, Peace Walker, Mildred Norman, and many more on the 8-gigabyte Women's History Collection that you get, along with the tote bag, when you become a BAI buddy with a contribution of $15 a month. Become a buddy!
We really appreciate and need your support. Help us to continue to bring you important news, information, and entertainment. Radio might seem free, but there are costs, and our listener-supported radio station needs you.
Go to women.wbai.org and choose Ecologic on the drop-down menu, or call 212-209-2950 and say that you want to be a member or a BAA buddy. Also, those of you online, please sign up for our email list to stay connected with us. Those of you on social media, search for Eco-Logic. And thanks to our terrific engineer, Reggie Johnson. We couldn't do this without you.
I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us Friday, March 18th at 2:30 to hear about nuclear accidents.
Inexpensive energy.
WPFW in Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Chris Bangert-Drowns with some brief news headlines. President Joe Biden today announced that he is asking Congress to revoke Russia's most favored nation status over its invasion of Ukraine. The action would be taken in coordination with the European Union and the Group of Seven Nations. Stripping Russia of its favored nation status paves the way for the U.S. and its allies to impose tariffs on a wide range of Russian goods, and would further ramp up pressure on the Russian economy, already weakened by widespread economic sanctions. In the United States, removing Russia's permanent normal trade relations status does require an act of Congress. However, officials say lawmakers on both sides of the aisle have already indicated their support for such a move. Congress is pursuing additional legislation that would, in part, direct the U.S. Trade Representative to, quote, use the voice and influence of the U.S. to push for Russia to be suspended from the World Trade Organization. Russia widened its military offensive in Ukraine, targeting locations far from the front lines, while continuing to strike cities already devastated by fighting. Russian missiles struck at least three cities in western and central Ukraine for the first time today. Meanwhile, Moscow launched a fresh assault on the besieged southern Ukrainian port city of Mariupol yesterday, a day after one of its planes bombed a maternity hospital. The daily bombardment of Mariupol has left the city of more than 400,000 people without food, clean water, or electricity. The Associated Press reports that more than 70 people have been buried in a mass grave on the outskirts of the city since it opened on Tuesday. According to the BBC, the city is a strategic goal for Russia because seizing it would enable Russian forces in eastern Ukraine to join forces with troops in Crimea. A meeting in Turkey yesterday between the foreign ministers of Ukraine and Russia ended without a concrete agreement to end fighting. Ukrainian Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba said a 24-hour ceasefire was discussed but not agreed upon, and reiterated Ukraine's refusal to surrender. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said he wants further negotiations and did not rule out a meeting between the Russian and Ukrainian presidents. Speaking at a news conference, Lavrov also downplayed the prospect of a nuclear exchange with Western powers. Diplomats in Turkey, which is a member of the NATO alliance but also shares ties with Russia, said the talks were intended to lay the groundwork for eventual discussions between Presidents Vladimir Putin and Volodymyr Zelensky. Russia has said it will end its invasion only if Ukraine promises not to join NATO, gives up Crimea to Russia, and acknowledges the independence of the Donetsk and Luhansk breakaway regions in eastern Ukraine. And in domestic news, the Biden administration reversed a Trump-era decision this week, allowing California to once again set its own car pollution standards. A waiver, approved on Wednesday by the Environmental Protection Agency, allows California to set emissions rules stricter than those imposed by the federal government. Those rules had been signed onto by 15 other states and the District of Columbia, representing more than a third of the U.S. car market. Transportation is the single largest source of greenhouse gas emissions in the U.S., comprising 29% of all emissions. Former President Trump decided in 2019 to revoke California's authority to set its own rules as part of a handful of actions rolling back environmental standards.